Today, I want to share with you something that's been on my heart lately. Very, very powerful. I don't know if you have the handouts or not, but if you do, you know where we're going. And this has come up a lot lately in my experience with talking to people under various circumstances. And the title of our message today, Forgive in order to be forgiven. And we are familiar with scriptures relating to this. I know you are. If you've been in a walk with the Lord for a period of time, you have. But this is something that is so profound. I want to give you some examples today about what the Lord is talking about here, about forgiveness. Like I said, I've witnessed some situations lately where people who have called themselves Christians, but they have not been willing to forgive those who have committed offenses against them, at least not for now. You ever heard that expression? I'll forgive them, but not now. I know I'll forgive them, but not now. Let's just say that's a Sunday. Monday comes. I know I'll forgive them, but not now. Monday comes and goes. Now we're in Tuesday. I know I'll forgive them, but not now. Tuesday of that year goes by. Now we're 1 year later from that Tuesday, 365 days later. I know I'll forgive them, but not now. And that's not good, because the Lord says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Don't put yourself in the judgment seat of God and determine when they are or are not going to be forgiven, because if they turn their hearts to the Lord, they're going to be forgiven regardless of your ill will against them. You see. And I want to give you some examples of that. Very, very powerful. Whether these offenses are real or imagined, all followers of Jesus Christ must rid themselves of any root of bitterness and unforgiveness so anchored in the soul, and cry out to Jesus, who cleanses, forgives, and frees us from the domain of darkness into His marvelous light. What does Hebrews 12:15 have to say about that? And this is what it says. The very first words of Hebrews 12:15 says, anyone there yet? What are the very first words?
Mine says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many.
That's exactly what I was curious what you were going to read, because my Bible says, and the New American Standard says, see to it. See to it. And so the admonition is very, very strong. Hebrews is a pretty strong book. Hebrews is the one that says today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. It says a lot of other things that relate to our lives, as all scriptures do, in a very powerful way. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. And so what I see happening is unforgiveness many times is there because there's a bitter taste toward what someone did or what someone said. Now, sometimes someone may have ought against you because it's a figment of their imagination that you did something against them. You understand what I'm saying? It's their imagination that you did something against them, and you had nothing to do with it whatsoever. There was nothing that you did to cause offense. But in their mind, you did. So they have ought against you. and they do things toward you to show you they have aught against you. And you got to let that go. Even though your hands are clean, you did nothing, but in their perception, you did. You may have had words with them to go over the disagreement. You've talked about it. And at the end of that discussion of you talking about what they thought you did, you explain to them there's nothing to that, they still hold it in their hearts. You got to let that go. If they meant to do you harm, if they were very purposeful in their plan and scheme to do you harm, you have to let that go. You have to forgive them in order for you to be given, to be forgiven by your Heavenly Father. Let's look at it again, Christians. And see what part of this we do not understand. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Now we're going into Matthew territory. In Matthew, where Jesus gave the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But in 6, about midway through this, he talks to them and he addresses some things to their heart. And please understand, don't go flying through this that you know all this, because this is something we have to apply. Even though your brain understands it, from the heart we have to apply it. And in Matthew 6, let's start with verse 5. My Bible, it's all red letters. This is Jesus speaking directly from the Lord. And when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. What is the reward he's talking about that they have? They love to be seen praying on the street corners. They love to be seen as spiritual or holy. And Jesus says they have the reward. What is the reward?
Attention.
Attention. Good.
The reward is from man, not from God.
Accolades from men. That's the reward. But a lot of people like that. They like the applause. They like to be seen as holy. Well, Jesus wants to really, really tweak this thing down and pierce our hearts as to what a Christian is what a Christian does. Okay? Not just talking about something. We got to do this thing. Not just be seen. But it says, verse 6, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. And verse 7, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Sometimes when you enter into your closet or your car, or maybe at a library someplace, just sitting there between you and the Lord, you just simply say to the Lord, there's not a long prayer. It's simply straight from the heart. And you say to the Lord, and He understands what you're saying, you say, perhaps sometimes with little moist eyes, you say, help. Does the Lord hear that? Somebody else is over there, they're going on for a half hour or so, and all you say is, help. That's prayer when it's from the heart. Not to be seen. You're just there and you're feeling it. Whatever it is you're feeling, you're feeling it. And you cry out to the Lord and you say, Father, help me. I'm in a mess here. I need your help. Therefore, in verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way. Here's Jesus telling the folks how to pray. Now, we're going to go into all this because you can spend a long time and extrapolating spiritual messages and value out of the Lord's Prayer. But we're just going to read it to get to a point, okay? Pray in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. He connects the two. He relates the two. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus is speaking. Isn't that, is this registering? You know, forgive us as we forgive our debtors. So forgive us, but forget about our debtors. You know, Lord, you know how I feel about them. We got this straight. We're cool, right, Lord? We understand this. Lord says, no, you're not understanding me, and I'm not going to join you in unforgiveness. You think I'm going to join you by you asking me to forgive you, and yet you don't want to forgive them? That is not going to work in my kingdom. This is a monarchy. I'm king, I'm Lord, I make the rules. You do not have anarchy in a monarchy. You got to follow me. You got to jump through my hoop. I'm not going to jump through your unforgiveness hoop. Now see, a lot of Christians in the church today may not like to hear what Jesus, not me, Jesus is saying right here, because I'm not saying this. And if you do not like this, what you need to do is go through the Bible, get you a real good pair of barber scissors, and cut out every little part that you do not like to hear. And you truly will have a holy Bible. I have heard recently people, Christians, say to me, I am not going to forgive them. Then they finally said a little bit later, maybe later, but not now. Not what they did or said to me. I'm going, I, that is not good. I told Shirley, I said, honey, I said, right now in my heart, I can't think of anybody that I have something against that I'm not forgiving them. I can't, Lord, show me. Show me, Lord, is there someone that I have not forgiven? Is there someone, no matter what they've done? It's not coming on the screen. It's not coming up. And the computer's on, the receiver's on, the cry is real. Can any of you think of a situation in your past where it is sour, it is bitter, it is hard to swallow, and yet Jesus says, if you want me to forgive you, you have to forgive them. They may even be dead. And yet you do not have a peace in your heart toward those persons when you see their face or the image or whatever you want to picture in there. Now, who is going to deal with anyone that has done something against anyone if they haven't taken it to the Lord? Who is going to deal with that person that you may not want to forgive, or maybe you have forgiven, finally have forgiven? Who's going to deal with anything that's been dealt with in an unjust way? Who's going to deal with that? So you don't have to interfere with God. He says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. You think because you are not forgiving them, you're making them hurt. You're judging and you're saying, I'm not going to forgive them. And I just give them a blanket. I've covered this thing with a black blanket. I've buried them. This is over. You have been judged by me. I do not forgive you. And the Lord clears His throat. Not that He needs to, because the Lord is not in any way needs to clear His throat. He speaks clearly anytime He wants. But just an expression. And He goes... Are you talking to me? Yes, I'm talking to you. You got it wrong. I believe with all my heart. This has been on my heart lately. I believe with all my heart. There is a debilitating of the church because, and a crippling of the church because of unforgiveness. What good would it be right now if I were lying to you and said I can't pull anybody up on the screen? You know what I mean by that. I can't picture anyone that I have anything against. It doesn't make me anybody. I'm just saying, if you do that, you need to be encouraged to do that. Lord, is there anyone in my life, anyone in the past, anything whatsoever that I have not forgiven? Lord, show me. And the Lord might go bloop, 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 bloop. You know, like a television a studio, and they got all these TVs everywhere, or you're at whatever, you're at a place, sports place or whatever, and they got all these TVs. I'm going bloop, 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 bloop. Conviction! Isn't that good, though? Is it not good for God to convict you of something that just hasn't been there, and you justified it, and you just whatever? That's not good. How embarrassing it would be to walk into one of those places and you ask that question, and it responds by the Spirit of God. Lord, is there anyone in my life I have not forgiven? Bloop, 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 bloop. You know what? I would... If you love the Lord, you'd have to melt. Say, God, it didn't work up here. My brain, it's not understanding that, but now I do. Jesus, red letters. I don't know if you got red letters or not, but Jesus, red letters, says,
what?
Forgive us, in verse 12, our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. As, it goes together. So you're going to be forgiven as you forgive. If you don't forgive, then God's not going to forgive you. He says so. He makes it very clearly. Very, very clear. In verse 13, and do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And then verse 14, oh, about that forgiveness stuff? I mentioned it, or unforgiveness. He comes back in verse 14 in case someone was just waking up. For if you forgive men of their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And in case you didn't get that, in verse 15 he says, but if you do not forgive men, then your Father will not forgive you your transgressions, period. Should we vet or cut out or change this to get further clarification? Who is going to take care of all transgressors? The Lord is. No one's getting by with anything. The Lord's going to take care of that. The Lord has that all in control. All you got to do is say, okay, Lord, give me, enable me the ability to forgive something that is in my throat and in my heart that is so hard to swallow. Enable me. Are you willing to do that? Even though I'm telling you, this is... It can be so powerful, so hard to forgive, but can you say that? Are you willing to say that? 2 Corinthians 8, 12, there's first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what a man has. And are you willing to say, Lord, that's a difficult thing for me to do, but will you enable me by your Holy Spirit to be able to forgive something that I've just not been able to do? Because I understand what you're saying. You've got to take that step. That step of, but they don't deserve it, but I'm going to ask you to enable me to do this. And God will allow those hands to release. You'll have your heart change and you'll be able to say, God, forgive me for not forgiving them. And because what I know now and receive from you now, I'm enabled, Lord, to forgive them. And then the chains fall off. And you can live a life free from that hellish, dogging, gnawing, perpetual taproot deep in your heart. and you'll be free.
You know, a lot of people are confused on that, which says God won't forgive you, but he already says, I've forgiven you all your sins. He's not talking about that part. It's the relational part that you get messed up. He's forgiven the punishment part, but your relationship with him is not right. And what you do with others is what he's going to do to you. So if that relationship is off in the distance, then that's what will happen to you. And it's just so powerful. If you want that smoothness, you have to forgive. You can have that with God.
Iniquity abounds. We have things in our hearts and things that happen, and God forgives us. That's what the blood of Jesus is all about. And sometimes you don't even know some things that are even there, hidden in corners, just like a house, a little, golly, look in that closet. I didn't know that closet was there. It was behind a false wall and all this kind of stuff. But God knows where all those nooks and crannies are. He will come in. He will ferret out. He will search out your life. And he will expose to the light anything that is of darkness. And then you got to deal with it. In Matthew 18, turn over if you would in the same book, Matthew 18. I think it's a good day. Linda, what was the word you used? It's exciting. We have trouble. We have trials. We have adversity. But it's a good day. It's a day of opportunity. Ted walked in today in the back. It's been raining down here. It's been raining. And Ted walked in on a rainy day. What was that you said? It's a beautiful rainy day. I said, man, I love it. And Beva comes today on a day that, in my vain imagination, thought that, well, Beva won't be here today because Helen won't be here today because of the rain. And Beva insisted on coming. And I'll guarantee you that Beva had a much harder time than us and all of our physical abilities to, you know, just jump and do what we want and do all these things. She had a harder time coming up here with her little helper to get here today. And you wanted to come in the rain. Wow. Positive. The glass is half full, not half empty. I love it. I love the examples. In Matthew 18, and starting with verse 21, Peter was curious. I love Peter because he wasn't ashamed to ask. All teachers know there is no such thing as a bad question or a dumb question. It's bad if you don't ask, you know. Peter, in verse 21 of Matthew 18, says, Peter came and said to him, to Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. We've heard this many times before, and it's good that we've heard it many times before, but you're going to hear it today in light of what we're talking about. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to what? 70 times seven. 70 times seven is a 490. He did not mean when you get up to 490, that's it. You fulfilled your holy obligation. He's talking about what? Infinitesimal. You just go on forgiving. Okay, now, here is a powerful illustration. If you want to be forgiven, you have to forgive. And here it is in this illustration right here. Jesus said to him in verse 22, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 77 times, 70 times seven. Verse 23, for this reason the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. That equates to about $10 million. In other words, it was impossible in that time. He owed him so much, it was impossible. Okay, now, then we'll read that again, verse 24. And when he had begun to settle the accounts, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all that he had, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt what? Compassion, and released him and forgave him his debt. Well, let's see what he does. He's forgiven. In verse 28, but that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, Pay back what you owe. Oh boy, look what's in the heart of this guy. Not good. So his fellow slaves fell down and began to entreat him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will repay you. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. He was forgiven, but he wasn't going to forgive. So, verse 31, so when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to the Lord all that had happened. Verse 32, then summoning him, his Lord said to him, You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? Verse 34, and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed to him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. How many of you can say, how many of you know, you got two kids that are squabbling, mom and dad are up here, or either one or the other at any given time, whatever, the authority is there, they're squabbling, and they have them both stand up there and face each other, and they go through there and they talk about all the issues that they had right here and the problems they were having, they were squabbling, and then now you say, you know, Lily, say to Billy Joe that you're sorry, and Billy Joe say to Lily that you're sorry. And you can just say that from your mouth, just lip service, and never mean it from your heart. Is that greatly possible? So we're talking about from the heart in verse 35. If each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart, it has to be from the heart. Now, who gives you a heart to forgive? You can't do that. Who gives you the heart to forgive? He'll come in to your life. He'll give you a heart. He'll give you the heart of Jesus to do things that Jesus would do. You ever ask that question, what would Jesus do? If you ask that question and you don't want to, if you don't want to know, don't ask that. But if you want to know what Jesus would do, you ask him and he'll prick your heart. He'll convict you. What would Jesus do? Things have happened to us in the past. I believe more people than what we would even imagine, things have happened to us in the past. Physically, things have come against us. Verbiage has come against us. Situations have happened, have come against us. Even down to the ball field. Football, baseball, basketball, hockey. I was a better player than any of them. I was a better goalie than them. And that joker coach, he never put me in once. I did pine time. I set and I set and I set. And I set because that goalie's dad was a senator, or that goalie's dad was given to the athletic fund. It was a political situation, and I was better than him, and I knew I was better than him. Let's say he was, but I didn't play a minute until the end of the year. The coach put me in. It was the end of the year, it was the last game he put me in for 2 minutes. And to this day, I'm not talking about me, I'm giving you an example. I hate that coach, and I do not forgive him for what he did. Is that possible?
Oh, yes.
Shirley had a teacher or an advisor, I believe it was a school counselor, say to her, college is not for you. You need to consider what home economics or whatever. College basically was not for you. Boy, howdy, did that stir and push a button in her life. It wasn't that her mom and dad were encouraging her to go to college. It wasn't that any other private tutor or anyone else was encouraging her to better herself educationally wise. But within her, and everything within her, was saying, you watch, and I will show you what this non-collegiate woman, girl, can do. And you can resent that person and hallelujah all you want the day that that person dies and not forgive them. It will do nothing to improve your relationship with Jesus Christ. Is that possible for things like that to happen? Now I want to say this. This is very powerful. God has given us a wonderful thing called memory. Memory can go down memory lane and remember wonderful things. Many wonderful things. Ted talked about West Palm Beach. Many things that were positive that he remembered. A lot of kids can go back to their home like we have in Ohio. I walked in the barn where we swung on the ropes and we played in the hay. In Ohio, down below where the cows were when I fed them and that was my chore and all the other animals and stuff. That barn was still there. It had a hole in the roof, but it was still there. I walked down below and the smells were there. It brought back and evoked many pleasant memories. But also, God does not block out, unless God does some kind of a miracle, memories of things that were not pleasant. And things that may have happened to us, all of us. It's not that because you're able to forgive someone, it doesn't block out the memory of that situation. You can remember it. You can forgive them or whatever happened, but you can still remember it, but not dwell on it every day, not visit it every day, but go on with your life. Shake the dust from your shoes and go on. Don't go back. Maybe they are back. Maybe they want to lasso you and drag you back to that situation. They, meaning who? The adversary. Forget about that. People can't do anything against, but the adversary will. The powers of darkness want to drag you back to that memory and keep it going and keep that old dark fire, so to speak, to keep that heat going of that dark memory. Because you will not ever be, the memory won't be taken away from you. But you don't have to go back and visit it. Anybody relate to that? I believe what we're saying today is very, very necessary for the church to hear. Things happen to me. Younger on in my life. And I knew that if I told my dad the person involved, life would have been endangered. Did so and so blah blah blah, my dad said, and I said no. It had nothing to do with the family. It was another situation, not in my family. And then I felt that with all my heart that if I would have said yes, then I would have lost my dad because of what he would have done, because I knew my dad. I'm saying this to you without giving you much detail, but I'm saying to you, my life is hid with Jesus Christ. I am so grateful to the Lord for coming, saving my soul, and allowing His heart to be mine. And I do not hold anything against anyone, anywhere on this earth that I know of. I believe blessings will follow those who forgive. And that you will be crippled, and that the root of bitterness will deteriorate your bones in some fashion or some way, perhaps over a period of time, perhaps over a long period of time, but it will deteriorate your bones. It isn't worth, it's not worth all the crud that has gone on in our lives, holding on to it, and holding unforgiveness in our hearts toward situations in the past. It is not worth it. And I believe I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, there's a lot of crippling in the church because of unforgiveness. In verse 35, again, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. In Luke chapter 17, there is much here to cover. So we're not going to cover it all today. But let's turn to Luke 17. I'm going to share the scripture with you in Luke 17. And to me, how many of you value clarity? How many of you value what are the instructions? What's the game plan? How many of you value that? In anything you do, you're going to be employed by any employer, you have to know what is the game plan in order for you to function in that organization, whether it be UPS or FedEx or whatever anybody is working, whether you're teaching, what are the rules? What's the game plan? And if God is not in that plan, if God is not the head of that plan, and you're following the rules of some other God or some other Lord, you're in trouble. If you will not be ruled by God, you will be governed by tyranny. Amen. If our educators are not ruled by God, they will be governed by tyranny. And I can see the tyranny metastasizing all over our educational system. Mary has experienced it firsthand. They're not teaching anymore. They're teaching to pass certain state or federal regulations and tests so they can get money for that school to say, whoopee-ki-yay, look how well our school's doing. But you ask the kids and just common understanding knowledge of material on a syllabus intended for the entire year, they have no clue, but they might be able to pass an FCAT exam. No common sense, because it hasn't been learned. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. You teach a country, you teach a country of kids that. Jesus first, reading, writing, or arithmetic, man, you got some spine. You have some spine. At graduation time, you know, don't give them a diploma, give them a spine. Keep your diploma, give me a spine. Boy, that'd be a nice little logo, wouldn't it? You know, a little slogan. Give me a spine. Come to our school, get your spines. And that's the school of the Holy Spirit. That's why Michelle, Naomi, and Nicole, your kids, Drew, I thank God for them. They got some spine. Yes, they've gone down that sidewalk and their little carts have got hung up on rocks and stuff. Man, they're coming out. Oh, Michelle comes out and says, Naomi, I know what's wrong. You know, sissy, it's just a little rock in your back wheel. It's okay. Cool. And Nicole said, yeah, there's one more. Let me get that one. And then both of them get behind Naomi and push her down that sidewalk, and now it's their turn. They get on. You ever do that? Take turns with one toy and not everybody can jump on all at once? I really do. I thank God for you guys. You got some spine. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, let's look at Luke, and we're going to close for today. We say we close, but the door is always open to Jesus. Luke 17. How often do we forgive? Jesus is speaking. Jesus is speaking. Jesus is speaking. In verse 3, be on your guard! Exclamation. Be on your guard. Can we all say that? Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times, saying, I repent, forgive him. And the apostle said to the Lord, and this is very powerful, what did they say? Say it loud.
Increase our faith.
Jesus says to them, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times, well, we already know the Lord talked about 70 times seven, but here's another example. Seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. See, it's not something you have to pray about. It's not something you have to go and find out what the will of God is. It's not something that you've got to have some great revelation or the handwriting on the wall like Nebuchadnezzar got. It's nothing. You just have to know this in your heart already. Forgiveness is God's will. And though, so how do you think they're taking this if they say at the end of verse 5, Luke 17, 3, 4, and 5, verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Maybe because they were saying, that's a hard thing. I don't know if I really want to do this because I keep doing this all the time. And they keep doing what they're doing, but they keep saying they're sorry. So how long do you want me to keep this up? If he comes seven times, and keep on forgiving him seven times. Well, what if he comes 10? You don't think the Lord knows the principle about it, what he's talking about here? Yeah, 10 times. Well, what about 50 times? Yes, 50. You forgive. Your brain may not forget, because you've heard that expression, right? Forgive and forget. You forgive, but your memory will be there what they did, of course. Paul, they meant to stone Paul to death on one occasion. They meant to kill him. They hated what he was saying. All he was saying was that Jesus, the Jesus, you know, that I preach and that I, you know, I'm apostle, the one that you crucified, I'm the one that follows Jesus and teaches teachings. That's all he was teaching, was the Word of God. They meant to kill him because they hated him, and they buried him in a pile of rocks. Did he not remember that? See, in that case, it didn't kill him. He got up. He went right back into the town after being stoned. I brought stones here at times, different stones. They have pretty good stones. You see them in the news all the time, throwing stones in the Middle East. Right, it's a pretty stony place, isn't it? You can find a stone almost anywhere, right? They're just there. Some places are rockier than others. You go to Clearwater Beach, it'd be pretty hard to find a stone. You go to the Middle East, you're going to find them. You go to some areas in our United States, there's rocks everywhere. And so, our Mount Fuji, you guys, Shirley and Linda tried and attempted to climb that thing, and lava, rock everywhere. So anyhow, do you think he remembered that stoning? Of course he did. Did Jesus remember what they did to him when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Or if they have known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do we understand what he's saying? They didn't know. I mean, they knew who I was. I mean, they saw the miracles, all this thing, but they didn't really know the fullness thereof. They were in darkness and deep, deep bitterness in what they did to me. But Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wow. See, that's my Lord. That's my example. That's my watermark. That's my bar. That's my goal, is to follow Jesus. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Today, I hope that this message pricks your heart and my heart in some way, to move you closer to freedom by forgiving anything and everything done against you. The blood of Jesus will forgive you. As you have given your heart to Him, He forgives you. But there are some who say they've got time, and maybe tomorrow, maybe next week, not now. And all you have is what? Now. If not today, when? If not today, when? Now, do you have to go find that person in the state of Washington and say to them, I forgive you? Does the Bible teach that necessarily? That you have to go to Korea to forgive that person who's or South America or Australia? You have to go find that person. You have to go call that person and say to them. Maybe the Spirit of God would have you call them or get a hold of them or write them a letter. I don't know. But some of these people are even dead. So what do you have to deal with? In your heart, say, Lord, forgive me because I have not forgiven them. Lord, forgive me because I do forgive them now. I understand something now. A little more loudly and clearly, I forgive them, Lord, and thank you for forgiving me. Wow. What a mighty God we serve. I've never preached with the stirring I had about this subject of forgiveness and unforgiveness as I have today. I feel this within me, and we're going to share some things next week about it. It's a good day. And I want to say this about all of us. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everybody. The wages of sin is what? But the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. If we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. See, every day we do stupid, funky things. Every day in our life. Or very possibly we could be doing that. And for that reason, I mean, golly, you wouldn't even move for fear that your flesh may be involved. Well, no problem. The Holy Spirit will get a hold of you. He'll correct you. He'll discipline you. Because Hebrews talks about discipline. What father does not discipline the child whom he loves? God's going to discipline us. I just think this is an area that we need to be disciplined on. A very serious area about forgiving. If we want a relationship, a flow of God's Spirit, we're going to have to forgive. And if you see somebody that has not forgiven someone, don't point the finger at them like they're the bad guy or bad woman or whatever. Don't do that. Pray for them. Just because you see something that may be there doesn't mean that you have to go around in your mind saying, oh, yuck, I don't want to be like that. And the Lord will come up and tap you on the shoulder and say, look, I can show you something too that you may not be aware of. Very, very easily the Lord could do that. Praise the Lord. So how did you feel, Shirley, when that counselor said to you, you're not college material, so to speak? That really pierced your heart, didn't it?
Yes.
And you were in high school. To me, honey, that would be devastating.
Well, it was, because I wasn't serving the Lord, and it stirred within me a flesh response of, I'll show you just wait. And I spent a great number of years of my life trying to prove to some ethereal somebody that I was something. And it was all brokenness of the flesh. So it wasn't a good thing, you know, but those things out of the past can really hang with you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And praise be to God that He's the one that, you know, works it out of you.
Who is it that's behind drawing all this stuff from the past to blanket the church and dampen the church's spirit? That's absolutely. We know that. It's not people. Please, it is not people. It's the adversary. If you look at people, then you'll come against people. But if you see who's behind it, that's your enemy. Your enemy is not mankind on this earth. Your enemy is the adversary of your soul, Satan. Seeks to kill, steal, and to destroy. Praise the Lord. So how many of you, don't raise your hands, feel stirred to at least ask the Lord, is there anything in my heart that has not forgiven somebody out there? Do you feel? Let's stand, and you, vertical, between you and the Lord, let's stand and you ask the Lord, is there anything in the past, any person in that anything thing that happened that I need to forgive. Let's stand.